Do you love Yankee baseball? If so, this is the show for you. Welcome to Pinstripe Talk with your host, Nick Delahanty. Welcome back to another episode of Pinstripe Talk. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Man, what a horrific weekend for the Yankees going into Boston and getting swept. Four-game series, really not much life coming out of the Bronx Bombers. But coming off of that series, the Yankees were able to bounce back, sweeping the Chicago White Sox. And, you know, there was a lot to look forward to after that series. And the Yankees were really able to take care of business. You know, when you sit down and you look at your upcoming schedule and you come off of a series against the Red Sox that you really struggle, you kind of look for some kind of glimmer of hope moving forward. And the White Sox were that team. You know, the White Sox are a team that's clearly rebuilding. They're not ready to win anytime soon. For the Yankees, it was a great time to match up with them. Really, they were able to get their mojo back. And hopefully, it leads to better results come August the rest of the way. Because the Yankees really need to catch up on some ground with the Red Sox, now sitting 9 games out of the division. It's kind of hard to keep up when all Boston does is win as well. So, Yankees keep winning, put the pressure on. You still have to match up with the Red Sox, I believe, twice more this season. So there is room to improve, to catch up. Just got to keep it close. And for the Yankees, you know, you're sitting there, you have 71 wins right now. And if you look at the standings, you're in first place in basically every other division. So, you know, as much as they struggled this weekend and as much as they struggled with injuries, you have to be happy with where they sit. Just for the retrospect of they're in the playoffs right now. There's still hope. They just have to keep playing hard. And we'll look over the White Sox series now and start off with the first game. And where'd it come from? Lance Lynn filling in the rotation. We all know the situation with Sonny Gray. Lynn goes out, throws 7 1/3, allowing just 2 hits. Retired over 20 batters in a row, if I'm not mistaken. This guy was a man on a mission. And he came out to prove his point that he belongs in a rotation. And good for him. Hopefully he could keep it up because that was a spark the Yankees needed. When you looked at the series against Boston, the problem was the starting pitching. That was a huge issue, and the Yankees couldn't get anything out of their starting rotation. And then the bullpen struggled, which didn't help as well. So getting a quality start from Lynn there, Cole came in relief. He's been fantastic this year, a really great pickup for the Yankees. And it was a good bounce back after that Boston series. You know, that game was going to be telling as to which route the Yankees were going to go. Did that series deflate them? Did that series kind of put the nail in the coffin as in terms of the division? And this team really bounced back, especially given that they have Kyle Higashioka in the lineup and you've seen Shane Robinson getting extended playing time as well. So that first game was big. Torres had a big homer in the 8th. His 18th of the year. Walker also homered in the ballgame. Both came in that 8th inning. So good start to the series to the Yankees there. Then you look at the second game of that series, and the Yankees had CC Sabathia on a mound. Really pitched well after that bad start in Boston. Came out, threw the ball well, 5 2/3, struck out 12 batters. You know, he didn't get a decision in this game. We'll get into that in a minute. But you have to be happy with how Sabathia threw the ball. Yankees need him. And a lot of people say, you know, he's old, time to move on, you know, $10 million, how long is his knee going to hold up? But Sabathia keeps going out there and throwing strikes and really being competitive. You know, that's all the Yankees could really ask for out of him. Unfortunately, the bullpen wasn't able to figure it out. Britton had a blown save there, allowing 2 runs. The game went into extras, and that's where it got interesting. And the reason it got interesting in extra innings was because out of the pen came Sonny Gray. And listen, my first podcast on the air, I ripped Sonny for struggling in the rotation and how he hasn't lived up to the hype that I thought he would live up to. But I did mention that maybe a role in the bullpen would help rejuvenate him and would help him to understand that he has to attack the zone and that his stuff is good enough to attack the zone and to get batters out. He has to realize that. And in that outing, he looked phenomenal. He went 3 strong, only allowing 1 hit, 1 walk. With his back against the wall, he didn't bend, he didn't break. And that was a great moment for him. And you saw his Yankee teammates realizing that, you know, he struggled. This guy has really had his ups and downs in the Bronx. A lot of downs to begin with. They need him to be able to fulfill any role that he's going to be pitching in. And if he can fill that long innings guy out of the bullpen, that's going to make the Yankees bullpen even stronger. And he was able to do that against the White Sox. Yes, of course, the 41 and 73 White Sox, you know, you can take it as it is. But for him to still go out there and compete and show the heart and the intensity that he did, that's a promising sign for the Yankees. And you just have to hope that he could keep it up. I say it all the time and people get upset over it. The Yankees are going to need Sonny Gray down the stretch, whether you like it or not. Whether it's an injury, whether it's him filling in the rotation if they need a spot start, whether it's him pitching out of the bullpen. Sonny Gray is going to play a factor in the Yankees' postseason run, at least up until they get to the playoffs. It's going to be up to him to determine whether or not he makes that postseason roster, and that if he can be a valuable piece that can help Aaron Boone and the Yankees going forward. If he can, that's going to be a big boost. If not, the Yankees are going to need to find a long reliever, especially after the trade deadline, you know, getting rid of a guy like Adam Warren. That doesn't really help them in terms of depth, but if Gray can figure it out there and Lynn could continue to throw the ball the way he has, they should be okay. And then you look at the third game of the series, and right from the get-go, you sit down and you say, oh, here it goes again. Severino struggling early, allowed two runs right in the first inning. He really looked flat. His pitches weren't there. The White Sox seemed like they knew what was coming. And over the last couple of starts, you kind of say to yourself, what is going on with Severino? He's not that same guy we saw early on in the year. And you have to think and take everything into consideration and say, you know what? Long playoff run last year. Young guy, really not used to that wear and tear. Is he wearing out? Is the fatigue setting in? We don't know what Severino's dealing with right now. But for the Yankees, it was encouraging to see that he was able to bounce back in that start and he went seven innings. Yeah, it wasn't typical Severino. You know, he let up three runs. In the same token, he was still able to bounce back. And that's what aces do. You know, getting a hole early. He was able to really settle down later on in the game and get the Yankees the depth they needed. And that's been a key. The starting pitching depth has really helped the bullpen, especially after a 13-inning game where the Yankees had to use a lot of arms. Having Severino go seven allowed Boone to only have to use Chad Green and Jonathan Holder. So when you take into consideration how good the Yankees' bullpen is, you have to also look at how the Yankees need their starting pitching to be better. And Severino, the last two starts, he hasn't been great, but he's been decent. He's been able to get through. He's been able to bounce back. And the Yankees need him to be at that ace caliber that he was early on in the year if they have any hope of going far in the postseason. And that's just a fact. You know, it's not going to be easy, but they're going to need him to do it. Severino tied his career high in wins also with 15. There's a chance that he can win 20 games this year. He's got a lot more starts heading down the stretch, and he's going to be pitching in some big moments. A big moment he's going to be pitching in is his next start against Jacob DeGrom. Yes, the Mets aren't very good, but you're arguably going against the best pitcher in the league. Let's see how he comes out in that start, and let's see what he can do in terms of getting back on track. And hopefully for the Yankees' sake, he's back to that ace form that he was at the start of the year. Because if that's the Severino they have down the stretch, it's going to help them if they get deep into the playoffs, especially against some good lineups like the Red Sox, Houston, throw Cleveland in there. It's not going to be easy, so the Yankees are going to need him to be at his top game. We're going to take a quick break here on Pinstripe Talk. When we get back, we're going to take a look at the Yankees' upcoming schedule and break down why the rest of the month of August is huge for the Bronx Bombers. Stay right here on Pinstripe Talk with your host, Nick Delahanty. We hope that you are enjoying the Pinstripe Talk podcast. If you have something to say or would like to comment on something that you heard on our show, please feel free to contact us via social media. You could contact our host, Nick Delahanty, on Twitter by tweeting at Nick_Delahanty, or you could send us an email, pinstripetalk@gmail.com. And we are back here on Pinstripe Talk with your host, Nick Delahanty. And as I stated prior to our little break we had, gonna go over the Yankee schedule for the rest of the month of August. And now, you look at the Yankees' upcoming schedule and you have to think to yourself, they have to capitalize on this part of the schedule. And what I mean is, you just saw it against the White Sox. The Yankees were able to take care of business against a team that was in a rebuilding mode. And over the next couple of weeks, the Yankees really don't have that steep of competition. You look at their upcoming series with the Texas Rangers. Rangers right now are 51-65, sitting in the bottom of the AL West. Then you look at, they have a one game with the Mets. That will be a little bit difficult. You know, you're facing Jacob DeGrom. But still a winnable game, by all means, especially with your ace Severino on the mound. And then you have Tampa and Toronto to end the homestand. And right now, Tampa's at 500. They're 57-57. Toronto's 51-62. But those are six games that the Yankees should be able to win. You know, you look at their schedule. They've struggled against the Rays and, you know, take it as you may. But they have to find a way to beat these teams. These are the teams that they need to beat up on. And that's why Boston's so ahead in the division. They're able to beat the bad teams in a way. You hate to call teams bad, but you look at what the Rays did at the deadline, trading away Archer. Clearly, they're in rebuilding mode. And Toronto's kind of in the middle. You know, they have some veteran pieces, but they haven't been able to capitalize. You saw Drury go down for the year now. Donaldson's been out almost the whole year. Tulowitzki's been out almost the whole year. They are a team without an identity as well. So those are the teams that you need to end up beating. So right now, you're looking at four games against the Rangers, one against the Mets, three against Tampa, and three against Toronto. So you're sitting there with 11 games at home in a row that you need to capitalize on. On those 11 games, you have to go above 500. There's no doubt about it. Ideally, you'd like to go 8-3. Heck, 9-2 if you get hot at the right time. These are games that they must capitalize on before they go on the road. Then you head to Miami. That's another team that's rebuilding. The Derek Jeter-led Marlins, 18 games back in the NL East, 22 games under 500. The Yankees should definitely be able to take care of business against them. And then you look at the Orioles, another four-game set against the rebuilding Orioles. We all know what they did at the deadline. And then, again, you get the White Sox that you just swept on their home turf. They come to Yankee Stadium. And then Detroit makes their way to the stadium, and they're not much better than Chicago. So then that takes you all the way into September. So from that schedule, the Yankees play one team that's currently sitting at 500. There's no excuse that they can't win some ball games throughout the rest of August. Yes, Aaron Judge is out. Yes, Gary Sanchez is out. Sure, Luis Severino's not at the top of his game. But the Yankees have enough talent that they could still keep this division competitive. You know what? At this point, Boston's nine games up. It's going to be hard to catch them. We all understand that. Is it doable? Yes. Is it impossible? No. The problem is, you can't worry so much about what Boston's doing at this point, and you have to worry about what you're doing. You have to basically match them win for win. You have to. At this point, yes, scoreboard watching's important. You want to watch, make sure, see what they're doing. It seems like they don't lose much. But if you start worrying about them, it puts more pressure on yourself, and it's not going to help you moving forward. So the Yankees really need to focus on this easy part of their schedule as they head into September. And yeah, you'll get reinforcements. Judge should be back by September. Sanchez should be back by September as well. The Yankees really need to just sit back and focus on winning each and every day. You know, you can't worry about tomorrow. You have to worry about what's ahead of you. And the Yankees can't think that just because their schedule's weak the rest of the way come August, that it's going to be handed to them. That's definitely not the case. You still have professional baseball players that you're playing against, and you have to make sure that you take advantage of every opportunity that you're given to win games. And that's going to fall under the players as well as the coaching staff. Aaron Boone's going to have to shy away from this Shane Robinson lineup eventually. We cannot keep him trotting out in either right or left field every other day. You know, it's nice to get some veteran guys some days off. I get it. Brett Gardner's 34 years old. Stanton's been dealing with a little bit of a hamstring injury that's been kind of pushed under the table a little bit. You know, however, the Yankees need their everyday guys to play every day. Gleyber Torres at 20 or 21 years old needs to be in the lineup 6 to 7 days a week. Didi Gregorius, in the prime of his career, unless he's banged up, needs to be in the everyday lineup. Right now, Miguel Andujar, his bat, needs to be in the everyday lineup. With the absences of Judge and Sanchez, the Yankees need to have the best available lineup every single day. And whether they decide to use the DH to do that, you know, you give Gardner a DH day, you go from there. But the Yankees need to kind of shy away from using Shane Robinson. What really stinks about the whole Judge injury is the fact that Clint Frazier's injured. You know, the guy's had a rough year dealing with concussions. This would have been a great spot for Frazier to kind of make his mark and get a chance to play. Because the way Boone's using Shane Robinson, you would assume that he would have done the same with Frazier. And let's face it, if we had a choice between Frazier and Robinson, I'm sure that 99.9% of Yankee Nation would pick Frazier, as I definitely would. You know, we've been waiting for Frazier to have his chance to make an impact with this team, and it just seems like it never has worked out in his favor. But the Yankees could really use somebody like him to kind of spark some energy out of the outfield, especially with Judge out. Yeah, the roster's expanded in September, and there's a chance that he'll be back. But the time that we can really use him is now. And it's unfortunate that the injury happened when it did, and you wish that Frazier had the best of luck moving forward, and hopefully he's able to come back as soon as possible and get that chance at the big league level, because he's a guy that has shown that he really has that passion and really wants to make a difference. It's just a matter of when he's going to get that chance and when he's going to be healthy to get that chance. He's been sidelined with those injuries that he hasn't been able to shake. But for the Yankees, it is very simple. Win today, worry about tomorrow later. That's it. They cannot focus on what's ahead. You know, this series against Texas coming up. 4 winnable games. They should win at least 3 or 4 in this series. They're the better team in this series, no doubt about it in my mind. However, when you go in with that mentality, sometimes you come out with the wrong type of energy. You know, you might lack it. You might think that it's going to be handed to you. The Yankees simply can't afford that. They need to make sure that they focus on today and worry about tomorrow later. So we're going to take a quick break one last time. Going to come back with some exciting news regarding the podcast right here on Pinstripe Talk. Hey everyone, this is Nick Delahanty, the host of Pinstripe Talk. Do you like discussing the New York Yankees? If so, follow me on Twitter at @Nick_Delahanty. You can also send in comments that could be heard on our show by sending an email to pinstripetalk@gmail.com. And we're back with the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Before we get into our exciting news about the podcast, there's just one more thing that I want to cover in terms of the Yankees, and that is the fact that I feel that they need Ronald Torres back with the big league club. Why? It's simple. Chemistry and versatility. When the Yankees had Tyler Wade on the roster, Wade was able to provide that versatility that they needed. You know, Wade played the outfield, he played a little infield. He didn't give you much offensively, but he was a spark plug that they were able to figure a spot for on any given day. And that's what Torres brings to the table as well. You know, Torres, a veteran guy, well-liked in the clubhouse, brings about a good clubhouse chemistry. The Yankees need that right now, especially in the dog days of August. They need those guys that are going to keep them afloat and going to keep them pushing to be great and to push them toward that American League East division crown. And Torres, although there might be better options within the system, you can argue that Wade might be a better option. The Yankees need to bring Torres back up. because they're two different ball clubs when Torres is there and Torres is not. And you could tell by the clubhouse attitude that they're better when Torres is around. You see Judge, after he hits a home run, he air fives where Torres should be. You know, I just feel like that bond that they created is too strong to keep away. And yeah, we'll probably see Torres come September, but I think that the Yankees need to bring him up now. And if you look at what Luke Voit has done, yes, he's a right-handed hitting option at first, but that's a spot that you could put Neil Walker in and hope that he gives you some kind of production from the right-hand side. Yes, Greg Bird has struggled, but Voit's not much of a better option. You could even make the argument that Tyler Austin could have been a better option. However, right now, I just feel like the Yankees need a little bit of toe back in their life. And I think the fans do too, because I personally miss the entertainment with the toe show, and I feel like it adds a good vibe to the New York Yankees, and it makes it a lot more entertaining for us fans, and I think for the players involved as well. So as we wrap up today's show, some big news. The Pinstripe Talk podcast will now be streamed throughout the internet. And what I mean by that is we are going to be featured on iTunes Podcast over the next week or so. We're also going to be on Google Play Music, and eventually we'll be transferred onto Spotify as well. So a lot of big things coming from the Pinstripe Talk show, and I can't wait to keep it going, and I hope that you continue to listen in and continue to provide feedback for the show. Feel free to email any comments or questions you want answered or discussed on the show by emailing pinstripetalk@gmail.com, or you can hit me up on Twitter @Nick_Delahanty. That will do it for our second episode of Pinstripe Talk. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.